This nation was founded on the principle that all men are created equal.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men are created equal.
I'll tell you what freedom is to me. No fear. I mean, really, no fear.
Isn't it equal?
This is Created Equal. From WDET in Detroit, I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you're with us. Democracy only works when there are the right people and processes in place to make it work. If you show up at the polls and things aren't ready or prepared, does it really matter who you're there to vote for? What issue is on your mind? And here in Michigan, that question of whether things are ready and prepared for voters when they show up turns on the work of clerks, election clerks. We have many, many, many of them in our state, county clerks, township clerks, city clerks. And these are the people who make sure that our democracy actually works. But a recent report in Michigan Advance suggests there aren't a lot of people who necessarily want to do that job anymore. Of the more than 1,200 clerk positions that will be on the ballot this fall, according to this report, 10% of those races have no filed candidates, which would mean, I guess, no one would do those jobs. Now, it's kind of hard to imagine what democracy would look like if this actually came to pass, if 10% of the township clerk roles were not filled here in the state of Michigan. But I think it suffices to say that it wouldn't be a good thing for our democracy. And at a time when democracy is under threat from underfunding, from questions that people raise about the integrity of the process, about the role of clerk itself. It seems like a really bad time to be testing the system in this way. And that's where we want to begin the conversation today. What's the role of these clerks? What's going on with the low number of people who want to do the job? And what are some of the solutions? How do we not drive off this cliff? We want to start today with the state's chief elections officer, Jocelyn Benson, who is the Secretary of State. Jocelyn, welcome to Created Equal.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have
Always
you here.
Always a pleasure to join you.
So let's start with this news, this idea that 10% of the open township clerk seats this fall have no candidates who want them. I describe that as us maybe driving off the cliff of election integrity and of infrastructure. Am I overstating that?
Well, we always have backup plans. I mean, one of the essences of planning for elections in moments like this is that there are levels of redundancies, plan Bs, plan Cs for any particular thing we need to adjust and adapt to. Now, I would argue also the vacancies you're talking about, they'll tell the whole story in that there are tens of thousands of folks who have signed up to be poll workers, mm-hmm. filling positions that we needed this year in years past. And so we actually, at the same time where you see some of these vacancies on the ballot, you see an extraordinary number of people have stepping up to serve in different ways in their own communities. And many people choosing to run for clerk for the first time because they want to do these jobs in places like Canton, Michigan, where Michael Segrist is really, mm-hmm. As an example, to embrace that role. So all that said, when there is a vacancy at any point, or if a clerk fails to do their duty, their legal duty under the law, we at the state level have supervisory authority where we can appoint someone or come in. Oftentimes that'll involve working with folks in the community to identify someone, the local officials, mayors, township supervisors, the like, and also working with the county clerks who are another, who also have different elements sense of supervisory power over local jurisdictions to make sure the job gets done. Yeah. So even if there's a vacancy, we still have ways of making sure the work happens, that democracy continues to go smoothly, and that is a reflective of our overall operations to always have a plan B, C, and D for any type of thing that could erupt.
So you and I have talked a lot in the last couple of years about the threats to the process of democracy mm-hmm. here in Michigan, and the questions that have been raised about the election integrity and things like that. What role do you think those challenges and this kind of specter of doubt that's been raised about elections is, what role is that playing in this number of people who, don't want to do this? Are we discouraging people from this work?
Yeah, there's no question that the job of administering elections has gotten exponentially more difficult over the last 5-6 years. Part of that is due to the influx of misinformation of really political strategies that have been unleashed to these local officials to try to interfere with their jobs, submit multiple FOIA requests, even threaten their safety and lives in some cases. And we see many stories of that, not just in Michigan, but across the country. And then on top of that, in Michigan, democracy and the way we operate elections has transformed since 2018, mm-hmm. When I took office. We've seen voters enact initiatives not once but twice, expanding options to vote, expanding the role of clerks in their make sure people can vote from home, vote early, as well as vote on election day. So the jobs have gotten harder. The pay has stayed the same. And those are set at the local level. So that creates a stress on the system when you then also add the increase in harassment.
I think we have lost Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson there. We're going to try to get her back on the line. Meanwhile, we want to get going with listeners on the phones and on social call and tell us what you make of the state of our local democracy. Do you worry about how safe our elections are, how orderly they will be, given the low interest or the lower interest in running for township clerk? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. It's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter, #createdequal or at WDET. We do have Jocelyn Benson back. Jocelyn, go ahead and finish your point.
Hi.
There. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so as I was saying, the job has gotten harder. The harassment has increased. The requirements for our officials to create expanded options for citizens to vote has gone up significantly, and the pay has stayed the same. That has created a lot of new stressors for these jobs, and it does require folks to really give more than ever before to make ends meet and make our elections work for everyone.
Yeah. I also want to ask you about the number of people who are involved here. We have county clerks, we have township clerks, we have city clerks. In Michigan, there's a lot of government involved in this, and that mm-hmm. that reflects our kind of hyper-local sensibilities about these things. We have lots of government in many different areas here. Is this too much? Do we need the role of township clerk, of city clerk, when we have county clerks, for instance? Should we be thinking about the structure of government here to ease some of the pressure, maybe lower some of the costs, and make it all work more uniformly and maybe more efficiently?
I think everything's on the table. I'm a process person, and we always say form follows function. So let's figure out what we need to do and then figure out the right structure to get us there. And certainly a lot of these structures are outdated, but at the same time, they create layers of accountability and checks and balances, which are really important for election security reasons, and also to make sure that basic idea of voting in your neighborhood precinct or knowing your local clerk continues to stay. It's one of the sort of hallmarks of election administration that it is so localized because it is so personal for citizens to cast their votes in favor of their preferred candidate. So I think you've always got to balance maintaining, for security reasons as well as access reasons, that local leadership. But certainly, I think, you know, we've asked for more funding from the state and federal government for years, making sure those local folks have more resources and staff to do their jobs is probably what's needed more than anything in this moment.
Let's talk about that money, and that's been a consistent ask on your part since you've been Secretary of State. We can't seem to get enough support for these clerkships, for these election officers, for the entire process of elections here in Michigan. What's the leverage point, I guess, we need to be focused on?
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, the cost, I think we have to recognize that the cost of running elections has escalated exponentially, not just in Michigan, but across the country, both with the increase in misinformation and security risks that creates, and also just the need to continue meeting people where they are and delivering good, fair elections in every way possible. So recognizing that, it boggles my mind that the federal government has completely abdicated its role and responsibility to help fund federal elections. Our state government in Michigan has stepped up, providing $40 million this fiscal year to enable us to cover the needs of voters and provide early voting across the state, for example. But democracy is a team sport, and we need not just local and state governments working to do their part, but the federal authorities as well. President Biden has consistently asked for sufficient funds and a consistent source of funds at the federal level for local jurisdictions and states, but we, like many other things, have failed to see Congress act to fulfill those requests. And we're left for trying to find in the states ways to pinch pennies and make ends meet. And, you know, it's frustrating because it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. If we don't end up with candidates for, you know, a substantial number of these clerk townships, as you say, you can always appoint people. And there are lots of folks involved in these offices. But I guess put a number, I guess, on the level of seriousness that of the concern we should have about this lack of interest. If it were to continue, for instance, or if it were to grow, how serious a problem would this pose?
You know, it's certainly on the list of concerns that we have about ensuring elections continue to be able to be run safely and securely in our state. But far greater risk, frankly, to our system in this moment is the misinformation that that various entities, candidates, foreign adversaries, and others are spreading about our elections. If we can minimize that and really pre-bunk misinformation, empower citizens to be critical consumers of information, that minimizes the threats and pressures these local officials and clerks are experiencing and makes their jobs easier and then solves that problem as well. So I put that as our number one issue that we need to address. Really, the number one risk to election security today is misinformation. And then, of course, making sure we've got the personnel we need to run good elections is always a perennial concern. And everything impacts the other. That said, bottom line, turnout in Michigan and engagement is higher than ever. And our elections are more accessible and secure than ever. So we also try to stay focused on that positive thing, too, because that is a reflection of the good work so many clerks are doing across the state and have been for years.
Okay. Jocelyn Benson, Secretary of State here in Michigan. Always great to have you here on the show. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to next time.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to continue talking about elections, election integrity, and security here in the state of Michigan as we get closer to our primary elections in August, and then, of course, the general election in November. We're going to talk with John King of the Michigan Advance, the reporter who wrote the story about the low number of candidates for township clerk this fall. We're also going to talk with Justin Roebuck, who is the county clerk in Ottawa County, someone we have talked to before about the problems and the challenges that clerks face. We also want to get going with you on the phones and on social. Call and tell us as we get ready for elections here in 2024. how confident you are in the process. Do you have concerns about the way things go at your polling place, in your city, in your township, in your county? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter, hashtag Created Equal, or at WDET. We'll be right back with more Created Equal. We're back with more Created Equal from WDET in Detroit. I'm Stephen Henderson. I'm glad you've joined us. We're talking today about the process and the infrastructure of our elections, something that we don't think about all the time, but certainly it's a little more in front of our faces in years like 2024, a year in which we have lots of choices and decisions to make. At the ballot box. A recent story in Michigan Advance reported that of the more than 1,200 township clerk positions on the ballot this fall, 10% of those races have no filed candidates. In other words, there aren't any people in those communities who want to do that job. This, of course, comes on the heels of all of the challenges that we know clerks have been facing here in the state of Michigan for some time now. And, of course, all the threats to the democratic process that have been leveled from all kinds of things like misinformation, foreign interference in our elections, and, of course, the doubt that has been sown by lots of people in the idea that we have free and fair elections here in America. We want to hear from you during this conversation as well. Give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number. Tell us about your faith in the electoral process here in the state of Michigan as we get ready for our primary elections in just a little over a week. Well, exactly a week from today. And then, of course, as we get ready for the fall campaigns and the November elections, you can also go to Twitter and hashtag Created Equal or at WDET. We've got two guests with us to talk about all of these things. John King is the reporter for Michigan Advance. He's the one who wrote the story about these empty ballots that people in many townships will face because no one wants to run for clerk in those communities. John, it's great to have you here in the studio. Welcome to Created Equal.
Thank you, Stephen. It's great to be here.
Also with us is a repeat guest here on the show. Justin Roebuck is the clerk of Ottawa County, someone who thinks an awful lot about these issues and, of course, is on the front lines when it comes to election process and integrity. Justin, great to have you here as well.
Really good to be here. Thanks, Stephen.
Yeah, so, John, I'm going to start with you and have you talk a little about what drew your attention to this issue. Not everybody is combing through the list of filed candidates for elective office. How did you find this shortage of township clerk candidates in Michigan?
You know, actually, you know, my boss, my editor, Susan Demas, she saw a tweet from Michael Segrist, the Canton Township clerk, where he was talking about this. And, you know, she sent this to me and said, you know, can you look at this, see if this is this anything? It didn't take long for me to kind of dig into it to go, yeah, this is something. The higher vacancy rate approaching 10% is fairly high. There's some vacancies always. But to be pushing 10% is not great. And when you look at all of the different challenges that, you know, Secretary Benson was just talking about that municipal clerks are facing, it's not much of a surprise when you consider, yes, there is, you know, the election integrity attacks, threats of violence. These are certainly going to be disincentives for someone to seek out these positions. But I think what we're finding is that more of a disincentive is the fact that the job role itself has vastly increased, mm-hmm. and the compensation has not at all kept pace with that. And I think any of us could understand that.
More work for less pay.
Exactly.
You know, who's signing up for that?
I think if anybody, you know, if a car manufacturer walked in on the plant and said, hey, we're going to give you 9 extra days of work and you're going to earn the same pay, they'd be hearing from their union. And so, you know, it's sort of these unintended consequences. At the end of what, you know, Secretary Benson's segment there, she said these are good things. She talked about, you know, high engagement, you know, great voter turnout. You know, these are things we want. You know, the ballot initiatives that passed in 2018 and 2022, adding, you know, 9 days of early voting and no reason absentee voting and mm-hmm. same day registration. These are all things people want to have. And so no one's arguing that that's a bad thing. These are good things. It's the idea of the extra roles that are added to these clerks who are, you know, this is not their only job. You know, I think when you think about clerks at the township level or really any municipal level, you know, at the township level, they, you know, they're also in charge of maintaining the township records. They have to publish board meeting minutes, mm-hmm. financial statements, get tax things ready. There's so many other things they have to do, plus elections, so important. And so I think people are burnt out. And then you add in the threat of violence and you know, and doubting integrity, and people, I think, more and more are just going, no, thanks. And especially when a lot of these clerk positions, these are people that have held these positions for years and years and years. And it was a position that I think not until relatively recently, it was something that was venerated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now people, they're like, I don't need this. So I think people are just deciding to move on.
Yeah, yeah. Justin Roebuck, what about John's description of your work? Is that about right?
I appreciate John's insights to this because I think, you know, spot on in a lot of ways. I think one of the other things we have to remember is that Michigan is a very decentralized state when it comes to election administration. Yes. We have over 1,200 townships. 276 cities, we have 83 counties. So we have over 1,600 municipal jurisdictions in the state of Michigan that you know, have some role in administration of election. 900 of those are single precinct jurisdictions. You know, so we're talking about
so
a lot.
Really small.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. a voting precinct is, you know, anywhere from 100 to 3,000 people max, you know.
Wow.
So, you know, these are communities where these vacancies are held, where in many cases, the clerk is not a full-time role. And as John was saying, there are many, many hats that these individuals wear, right, for their communities. They're a lot of times managing cemeteries and keeping the township records and signing off on all the paychecks for the, township employees if they have many. But election administration obviously is a crucial and constitutional role in townships, and it is pivotal right now. I mean, when you look at just since 2018, you know, we had voter initiated amendments that changed our constitution in 2018 and then again in 2022,
mm-hmm.
and those were significant. They included really great improvements for our voters, better access to absentee voting, more options to cast a ballot than ever before, the convenience of early voting, but they substantially increased the demand on our local election administrators. And I think, you know, one of the concerns that I have is that the infrastructure has not caught up.
Yeah. Walk us through a little bit of what your job looks like this time of year, in a year like 2024, when we're getting ready for primary elections next month, actually in a week. And then, you know, the general election in November. And I especially want you to talk about, I guess, the coordination that's necessary to make all of this work. It's not just about your work. It's about all the people you have to recruit to work for you to do this too.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. I mean, I am one of those 83 county election officials where, you know, I am coordinating and working in conjunction with the 23 municipal clerks in my jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
But just in Ottawa County, which is Michigan's 7th largest county. So, you know, we're not super small. We're not super big. But we have over 1,200 election workers, you know, that we train and deploy to the precincts, to the polling stations, you know, whether it's election day or for early voting or counting absentee ballots. And this is a very, very busy time of year right now. Obviously, we're in the middle of our early voting process, and that's going really smoothly. But again, a pretty substantial change and shift from where we've been. You know, our local clerks in particular, which early voting, you know, constitutionally and in the statutes, places the bulk of the responsibility for early voting on these township clerks that we're talking about, on the city clerks. And there's collaboration with the counties as well, which is what we're doing in Ottawa. And that's great because it relieves a little bit of that pressure. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they are right now, you know, nose to the grindstone, processing their absentee ballots, checking, you know, verifying signatures, doing all the things that really, you know, are critical to keeping our elections secure and free. And, you know, this added responsibility of early voting into that mix. So I think what's interesting, too, though, is that we've got challenges. But what I'm finding as I, you know, I'm talking to my colleagues, it's not about the fact that we don't deeply care about this work and love it. Mm-hmm. There's so many of us who, you know, see this as a role that we are glad to play in the process. I just think the reality is that we have to invest better as communities at the state level, at the federal level, and at the local level.
Yeah.
There's a stat that came out a couple years ago. It was in 2020 that is a little frightening, and that is that communities across the United States spend more money on parking infrastructure than they do on election infrastructure.
Wow, right? Parking, which is another issue that I can talk for hours about the problems with the way we handle that. But, I mean, that speaks volumes about priorities. John King, in your story, you spend a lot of time talking with Michael Segrist, who's the Canton clerk, about this money issue and the compensation for clerks, and there is you know, some of the numbers in here were really striking, I guess, to me. There were not things that I knew about how little money is involved. Can you talk just a little about how dire that is, and how dramatically low in some cases the compensation is for this work?
Well, I mean, as has been said, most of these positions, especially at the township level, part-time, and these are positions that, you know, in very small jurisdictions, single precinct jurisdictions, could be, you know, there could be as few as, and these are the exception, but a few as just a couple hundred voters, but even just a couple thousand voters. And so those positions were part-time. And when I say part-time, I mean, you're looking at maybe 8 to 10 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And then when you say, we're going to now say 9 days of early voting and you know, absentee ballots. And so it dramatically increases the amount of time that they have to spend on that, which we've talked about. And so I think it's the you know, vast increase in these responsibilities, especially for most of these smaller jurisdictions, you know, where people are beginning to, you know, say, I can't do this any longer. Mm-hmm. But even larger jurisdictions, I mean, as, you know, Michael Segrist pointed out, the Michigan Association of Municipal Clerks, their president is the clerk in Sterling Heights. She does not have a deputy clerk. This is a major jurisdiction. It's the fourth largest. To not have a deputy clerk, and at the same time you have, let's say, the Michigan Townships Association, and Sterling Heights is not a township, but nonetheless, who, you know, the Michigan Townships Association says basically, well, you should just make sure you have a full-time deputy clerk. And they kind of push that off onto the townships. And the townships, again, going back to these very small jurisdictions with very tight budgets, that's money. Mm-hmm. Where do they get that money from? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, Secretary Benson mentioned $40 million in additional funding, which is very helpful. That's not necessarily going to, you know, that can't hire, make part-time deputy clerks, you know, full-time and so forth. And so it is this left-hand, right-hand issue where I think we're expanding these voting opportunities. The people that are administering these elections are, I think, getting somewhat swamped. I mean, we talked about early voting starting this weekend. I saw several online posts from clerks who were at their online or at their early voting areas, and they have their kids, you know, in the other room coloring.
Wow.
And, you know, we all can, you know, on one hand you go, oh, that's cute. on the other hand, you realize it's, you know, there is a cost, a personal cost to be paid. And those are the things people I don't think necessarily think about when you add all these extra duties on. In particular to townships, and again, this dispute between the Michigan Association of Municipal Clerks and the Michigan Townships Association, the Municipal Clerks Association, you know, they basically were saying, look, you have all these extra duties. There has to be a way to provide extra compensation to meet this, to, you know, close this gap. And they suggested a number of ways. And one of them that they suggested was you find a way to provide extra compensation. If you're doing extra election duties, there should be extra compensation. The Michigan Townships Association responded to that. And even though the Municipal Clerks Association had a number of ideas to increase funding. And the key one was just pay your clerks more.
Right.
You know,
right.
Vote.
Just raise the salary.
Just raise the salary. The Townships Association focused in specifically on this idea of just paying additional monies for election duties.
Duties, yeah.
And they said, oh, that's illegal. You can't do that, which is technically true. But as Michael Segrist pointed out in the article, when they issued their advisory to townships and said, hey, this idea of paying more for election, that's illegal. As he said, it sucked all the oxygen out of the room. And townships that might have been amenable to saying, well, gosh, maybe we should talk about this, they sort of said, oh, well, Township Association says it's illegal. Good, we don't have to talk about it anymore. And so, again, this need goes unmet. And,
yeah.
You know, at the end of it, what the key concern is that that you got a brain drain. People that know how to do this job, you know, who've
been doing it a long time,
exactly, invested in this job, yeah, aren't going to be doing it, and then you end up with folks that have to sort of learn on the job, and there's problems that ensue from that.
Yeah, yeah. So Justin, I want to talk a little about the prevalence of this job in Michigan. You started out talking about how many clerks we have in how many different kinds of jurisdictions, and what John was just saying about this idea that you know, it's going to be really hard to attract people to want to do those jobs and to get people who are qualified and you know, mm-hmm, who could be good at it. Do we have too much of this job? I asked Secretary Benson that, and I thought she gave a really interesting answer to it. But I'm curious, as a clerk, if, for instance, we said that in Ottawa County, there's going to be one clerk, there's going to be the county clerk, and that person is going to administer all the elections in all the cities and in all the townships. Would that make sense? I mean, obviously, you'd have to vastly increase the budget of the county clerk, mm-hmm, but you'd be eliminating all this other cost at a lower level.
I mean, that's a great question, and I think that's obviously, you know, the case in many other states, right, where counties run elections in the majority of our states. Michigan has a really unique system, and there's a couple of other states that are similar to this where, you know, it is really, really, really a grassroots process. I mean, when you talk about, you know, elections at the national level, there really is no such thing. You know, there's states that have election rules, and then in Michigan, it is truly municipal based, mm-hmm, and municipal run. I think that's a strength of our system. I really do. Mm. I think that the checks and the balances and the number of eyes that we have on a process does matter. And I've seen this. I've been the county clerk for a decade, and the people that I work with as my township clerks, they are experts in their field, but they're also experts in their communities. You know, they know their communities. There's a uniqueness to communities in Michigan. I mean, we are a very diverse state when you think about it, from, you know, Metro Detroit to the Upper Peninsula. And, you know, where there's the reality of is there's probably some fiscal practicality to the, mm-hmm, fact that, you know, centralizing operations and making things more streamlined makes sense. But in the bigger picture, in my opinion, as I've seen how elections work in Michigan, I love the fact that we're decentralized. I love the fact that we can, you know, rely on this network of city and township clerks who know their communities to be that critical check and balance in a process. And ultimately, you know, the need is for professionalization of this industry.
So I mean, you would lean into the infrastructure we have and try to do better.
And better fund it. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really important. It's important for us to look to give our clerks resources. I mean, particularly in these smaller jurisdictions where they're resource strapped, you know, not just the you know, financial compensation, which is really important, but human capital as well, right? You know, the elections are cyclical. We're running into a situation where they seem to be less and less cyclical, and we have a lot going on. But we need to build an infrastructure around our clerks where they have the support to do what they need to
manage.
Do.
Yeah.
And my kids were with me this weekend as well. And
in the office.
I love that, but it's also a struggle, you know, and it is a real, there's a real cost to it as well.
Okay, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Ottawa County Clerk Justin Robach and John King, a reporter for Michigan Advance, about our clerks here in the state of Michigan, our elections, and the process of our elections. Still want to hear from you, our listeners, on the phones and on social. Give us a call. Let us know what you think of the state of our elections and our election process here as we get ready to vote in our primary election next week. We'd love to hear also from folks who work the polls. I know lots of people who volunteer every time we have an election to make sure that elections work. What's your experience like with that? How secure do you feel the process is? How well staffed our polling places, things like that. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter, hashtag Created Equal, or at WDET. We'll be right back with more Created Equal. Back with Created Equal from WDET in Detroit. I'm Stephen Henderson, and thanks for joining. We're talking about clerks, the number of clerks that we have here in the state of Michigan. A recent story in Michigan Advance that suggests the number of people who want to do that job when it comes to the township level is going down about 10% of the open clerkship races. Have no filed candidates right now. We're talking about what that means for the process of democracy, for election integrity, and other things that we talk about quite a bit here on Created Equal. I want to hear from you, the listeners, as well. What do you make of our elections process as we get ready to vote next week in the primaries and then again in November in the general election? We would love to hear also from people who work the polls. Go and make sure that democracy functions the way that we expect and need it to. What's been your experience with this? Do you see things working in the way that they should? Do you see places that they could work better? What's your sense of the kind of support that clerks get to make sure that all of this comes off every election day? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter, hashtag Created Equal, or at WDET. I want to read a social comment here. Detroitography says, does a large city like Detroit really need 450 voting precincts? The logistics are mind-boggling for a regularly low turnout. The city could have half that many precincts and focus efforts on reaching voters with quality information. Instead, really interesting point there. We've got two guests with us today as well. John King is the reporter for Michigan Advance, who wrote about the empty clerkship races around the state. We've also got Justin Robach. He is the Ottawa County clerk. I want to start this segment talking about, again, the work that clerks are doing and how it has changed. Justin, you and I have talked in the past about the firing squad, I guess, aspect of the work. And I say that in jest, of course. I mean, thank God we don't have a literal, outbreak of violence against clerks. Yeah. But clerks do seem to be caught in the crossfire of our politics right now in a way that they weren't before.
Yeah.
There is this effort to suggest that that clerks and that the democratic process, that somehow there's compromise there in the system that creates error or other problems. I want to hear from you about how much that plays a role in the job that you do, but also in recruiting other people to help with that job.
Well, I mean, I'm a strong proponent of the Make Clerking Boring Again movement. You know, I mean, I think there is this reality that over the past, probably realistically, really over the past, 7 to 10 years, this job has become more in the spotlight than before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a ministerial role in so many ways, and it is critical to have good people in this position, people who know what they're doing, people of integrity. But I also think, one of the things that I often talk about is clerks are generally nerds. I mean, we're data driven, we're nerdy people that like to keep our heads down. We deal with a lot of, filing stuff and paperwork and obviously elections are so much that way as well, right? There's a lot of administrative functioning that has to go on, but also we've had to become PR experts. We've had to become people who can, and this is important. I don't want to, downplay this at all, because the public and our voters need to know how we're doing things. Need to know that we're doing things with integrity and accuracy. They need to know the checks and the balances in the system, and we need to be able to communicate that well to the public. That there are many, many ways that your elections are secured, and that every voter should have access. And so. I do think there's some challenges that we face. There's some realities there too, where what I have seen, and this is anecdotal in my own, relationships with so many clerks around the state of Michigan, mm-hmm. but we have an environment right now where clerks are saying, I could probably retire. There's a lot of folks who are just kind of on the fence right there.
I'm done.
Like, I could do another presidential election, or maybe not,
Yeah.
And I think that the environment over the past couple of years has particularly created that, where, I have a clerk in my community who is a wonderful person and a great clerk. And in 2020, we had false affidavits that were filed in federal court. And one of the Trump lawsuits that basically alleged we had a 400% turnout in her community. And this is a community of about 12,000 voters, and it was insane. The pressure and the attention that was on her, she didn't sign up for that. this is not something, she's a normal person, a normal human being, and certainly had no. There was a 70% turnout in that election in her community, which is great. It's a strong turnout, but. There are those realities as well that our election officials are dealing with. And I think we're on a precipice this year. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the months following November.
Yeah. So Justin, I also want to ask you, you're a Republican. After the last presidential election, the Republican candidate said, this was a fraud, encouraged people to come down to Detroit and disrupt the vote counting on election night. And then, of course, in the run-up to certification in January was constantly doubting and still has said over and over again that he didn't lose the election and that voter fraud was what handed it to Joe Biden. I wonder, as a Republican, how do you reconcile that?
I mean, that's a really great question. I think, what's really important is in the role that I've been in for really the past 17 years, which is an administrative role. I've been the elected Republican clerk for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We follow facts and we look at data, and we have to. This is a very data-driven process, right? And ultimately, leadership matters. What our leaders say, what our political leaders say, matters a great deal, because people trust information that comes from people that they trust.
Mm-hmm.
We are wired to do that, I think, as human beings, to have this honesty bias, right? Where if you tell me something and I generally trust you, I'm just going to believe it. And I think that's why it's so critical, because every single political leader in this country, whether you're a candidate or somebody who is in office, you have a following. You have people that listen to you. And this is so critical to our democracy that we have political leaders who respect that process. And I am not saying this is a perfect process. There are things, the election is a human process. There are things we need to get better. We're just talking about some of them, right? Funding that leads to better infrastructure, that leads to fewer errors because people aren't as tired. And, you know, things, legislative improvements like allowing the processing of absentee ballots over multiple days instead of just cramming that into a one-night session that ends sometime, you know, Wednesday afternoon where people are, you know, have been up over 24 hours and they're counting absentee. That's crazy. Like, we need legislative reform, and some of that we've gotten, right, that allows for better structure to the process. We need to hold people accountable when they do things wrong. So don't take it as, you know, I think it's easy when it's your profession and when it's your life to say, oh, no, that wasn't, you know, we've done nothing wrong here. Well, we also have to take a look at ourselves.
We're all human, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to go back to the phones here. Renee in Lake Orion. Renee, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say that you were just talking about trust.
Uh-huh.
I'm in Lake Orion Township, and I totally trust the process that I've seen. I've been working as a poll worker, my husband and I, since the Clinton-Trump elections.
Okay.
And the training that we receive and then the following through and working all day, I'm like, we've signed up to be the all-day ones. And we're there at 5:45 in the morning to help set up, and we're there until 9:30 when we're walking out the door. We've been there. We were there during the COVID elections. And we're just, I am totally impressed with the way the township handles the election process.
Yeah. So that's a great add to the conversation, Renee. Quickly before we let you go, talk about why you do this. Like, what is it about participating in elections that way that is important to you?
I find it as a service to my community, but also curiosity. I wanted to be part of the whole process. It's always been important to me to be a voter, and I wanted to see how the whole process went. I always, when I would go, before I was a poll worker, and I would go and doing the whole process to see how everybody else was working, I wanted to be behind the desk also to be part of that process because it was just seemed fun.
Yeah.
And that's the other part of it. We have to remember that being able to vote is fun.
Renee, I really love that that you called and shared that that story and that motivation for being part of the process. I mean, we need more citizens in addition to people who want to be clerks. We just need ordinary citizens to be able to volunteer and to help out. So good on you for that, Renee. John King, we've got a couple minutes left. We were talking with Secretary Benson about what would happen if these were not filled. But talk about what would happen if this doesn't get fixed.
Right. I mean, the process would be, you know, obviously you could have write-in candidates, you know, for the primary election. That's what that is.
Yeah.
That's not a great backup plan.
Yeah.
Ultimately, if there's nobody on the ballot, the townships or the municipalities would appoint somebody. Once the roll is, once January 1st comes,
once
it's officially open, they would then have an appointment process. They would appoint someone to that position. The issue with that is whoever they have appointed, potentially, like, why weren't they interested in running to begin with? So whoever they've appointed is somebody that they've kind of had to, theoretically, I mean, kind of drag out to say, please do this.
Yeah.
Cajole is a better word, yes. please do this. Please do this. And so that's not a great setup for success.
Yeah.
And what the concern is, you know, we're talking about the attacks on the integrity of the election process. And, you know, we have a number of prosecutions going on right now in this state. You know, where individuals have done things like taken voting tabulators.
Sure.
And as was pointed out in the article, the concern is that you have clerks in positions who don't have a lot of experience, who don't have a lot of knowledge, who do things like turn over a tabulator to somebody who they're not really supposed to do that. As a matter of fact, I think Secretary Benson had issued a guidance not that long ago to say, absent a court order,
don't give this to anyone.
No one is supposed to touch that. And so this dovetails to the election security thing. The brain drain dovetails into that. You have people who may not have a political bias or motivation, although they may. It may just be that they don't know any better.
But they just don't know. Okay. John King of the Michigan Advance, Justin Roebuck, clerk of Ottawa County. It was great to have both of you and your great minds here for this conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is going to do it for Created Equal today. Created Equal is produced by Carrie Jr. II and David Lines. Our engineer is Nate Bender. And the music is by Sam Bobian. Additional support for the show is provided by Justina Giglio and Madison Ganzak. Our digital team is David Kim, Jenny Sherman, and Sophia Joswiak. Our program director is Adam Fox. Created Equal is a WDET production, a listener-supported service of Wayne State University.